Welcome, everyone, back to your favorite butt metal review channel here at Thunderdome Metal Reviews. I am the Reverend Dangerly. That was Tracy Newport. What did you have to say, Tracy? Now you're muted, so fantastic. We truly are butt metal.
I'm having issues finding the Zoom window. No, I was going to say we're the best butt metal channel.
The best butt metal channel. With me, additionally, are Gabe and David, and we are here tonight to talk about how we are doing in this fine, fine piece of metal, or not fine piece of metal. I guess we'll discuss that in what we review tonight. How is everyone?
I'd say everybody to get down with the sickness, but this isn't that album.
It is not that album. It exists, though.
I tell you how I'm doing, but I don't want to be divisive.
There it is.
I'm about to be a bad man. Bad man.
Bad man.
Bad man. Yep.
You just got to love to hate. That's all I got to tell you.
Indeed. So, as you probably have guessed by now, we are doing Disturbed's 8th studio album, which makes me feel incredibly old. Divisive, released on November 18th, 2022, which is my pick for an album that came out in November. Runtime of 37 minutes and 55 seconds, released on Reprise Records, produced by Drew Folk. The band at the time of recording was Dave Germain on lead and backing vocals, Dan Donegan on guitar, bass, piano, synthesizer, and backing vocals, Mike Wingren on drums, percussion, and backing vocals, John Moyer on bass and backing vocals. And there were a few people who came in and did some additional contributing, the most important of which, I'd say, or at least most germane to the music, is Ann Wilson, who laid down additional vocals on Don't Tell Me. And for those of you who don't know, Ann Wilson is from the band Heart.
Yep. I'm pretty shocked that Ann Wilson, who's on track 10 or something.
I mean, what band was she from?
Oh.
Heart.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm shocked at the continuity of personnel. I have to admit, I got off this ride a while ago, but
me too.
It's been a little bit of change, but not much.
I mean, it's since 2005, it's been the same lineup.
I couldn't even tell you that because I don't know that I bought anything other than The Sickness back in the day.
I was on the ride with this band up until Indestructible. After the album, after that, I was like, and I'm done.
I mean, I didn't like, I guess we can get into this now. The reason I picked this is the same old story. I needed an album in November. There were pretty slim pickings, and I think I might have been the last one to pick. So anyway, I picked this because we hadn't done them, and this is their 8th band or album. So, I mean, they've been around for forever. So I saw them on an Ozfest way back, I think, before The Sickness was out or maybe had just come out. I don't know. And I was like, who are those dudes? They don't sound too bad. And why is that guy wearing a jumpsuit? And then, like, you know, they are not in my opinion, I'll go ahead and get this out of the way, they are not in the same butt metal camp as, say, Five Finger Death Punch. I think they are much better than that, although I don't know if they've sold as well. But they are very commercial in that they have songs that you can hear on what was the standard rock radio for the area that I grew up in, which is where David and Tracy currently live. So they were, you know, the radio friendly metal.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. My introduction to them was, like many people, wrestling, because they did Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music before their first album came out, I think. Before Down With The Sickness, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think so.
We're not going to be able to correct you.
Well, it was around that same time, and my brother got this album 2000, or got Down With The Sickness right about 2000. And that was actually when I got Metallica Come All, was the album I went to get. And my grandmother said, it's like, no, you can't get that. So you could thank my grandmother for pushing me to Metallica instead of Disturbed.
I'm glad your brother wasn't able to get this in 2000, which would have been some achievement.
Yeah.
Like a hot tub time machine. He went forward and got a Disturbed record. Like that's what he used it for. Yeah. I wonder what this band's going to sound like in 22 years. I had The Sickness because it was, you know, it was a thing that was back then. I think we had Much Music, the Canadian music channel. So it was on there.
Yeah.
So sure. I bought it. Yep, it was. I bought it when it came out. I bought Believe when it came out. I bought 10,000 Fists when it came out. I think that may have been it. I don't think I bought Indestructible. It's possible. I can't remember. I should look. But I've never heard Asylum, Immortalized, or Evolution. So I really, it's been, the better part of almost 15 years since I've heard them.
Yeah, this has always been one of those bands where I basically just heard the singles, other than like that first album, which I think I might have bought at Ozfest or very soon.
Totally. Yeah, I never made sort of a, I think I heard a couple tracks off Indestructible, but I didn't have it. I didn't make some sort of principled stand. I'm not listening to this anymore. It just, they didn't strike me as evolving maybe that much. And I guess we'll talk about that in a moment, whether that's still true. And, it just sort of, it's moved on to other shit. But it was, I agree with you. I think this is better than other butt metal bands like Five Finger Death Punch. I think we're doing a, it looks like maybe we're not doing a butt metal blast next year because that schedule's pretty much made, but at some point,
yeah,
well, that threat will be fulfilled.
And it did cross my mind about potentially putting their first four albums up there just to kind of fill in that spot, because I know through like Believe, 10,000 Fists, and Indestructible all came out like number one, hit platinum like immediately upon release. Because, I mean, these guys, after the sickness, built up a groundswell of support for it. But I think for a lot of traditional metal fans, I think some of that support has wavered past Indestructible.
Well, I don't want to keep boxing Gabe out, so I want to let him get in here. But this album opened up at number one on the U.S. Top Alternative chart and the Hard Rock album chart. It didn't hit, like, number one on the Billboard 200, only hit number 13, but I mean, that's still pretty impressive for any heavy band. I mean, Lamb of God may have hit number one, or Slipknot,
for sure,
something like that. But anyway,
yeah, this is in that territory.
Yeah,
yeah. What do you know, Gabe? I know this is probably, I think this is exactly the sort of thing you probably haven't touched.
Yeah, I know not very much about this stuff. I remember hearing The Sickness back around when it came out, just through osmosis and like radio and stuff like that, and I just thought it was really annoying. And I did not really have anything anywhere to connect with it. And what's really surprising to me is that it sounds exactly like it did 20 years ago.
I agree with that.
This is like we're in like a time loop, and
Tracy's brother's thought machine, but we went back.
I'm afraid that we're not going to get out. That said, like the album, just to like get into the album itself, like the album sounds great. You know, it produced really, really well, and it's a very specific, it hits a very specific like alt metal kind of sound. But it's really not the one that I'm looking for like ever.
And I get that.
David, I think you're the only one who would appreciate this, but David Draymond's voice reminds me of a harsher new metal Herbert Grönemeyer. and what I mean by that, for those of you who don't know who Herbert Grönemeyer is, he's one of Germany's like, you know, most
living
famous
legend.
Pop stars. He's a famous pop star, but anyway, his voice is special, but like not in a good way.
It's like this. I know. I think that's a fair comparison. I do want to give a shout out to Richard Cheese's version of Down with the Sickness that was in Shaun of the Dead. Mm-hmm. So
I do think that this. Oh, I'm sorry, David. Go ahead.
I was to say it's probably the better version. That's all I have to say. This is not a Richard Cheese podcast yet.
He does have that album of metal covers that we could do a cover metal thing. I will say that I agree that this sounds like their early albums a lot. And since I never fully got on the ride, I can't say like that was all this. I mean, like I heard their cover of The Sound of Silence, which I thought was really good. But I mean that, and their cover of that Genesis song, Land of Confusion, which actually might have been on one of those earlier albums. And I thought both of those were good covers, but not necessarily super metally. Again, to their whole commercial friendly thing, which is whatever, it is what it is. But the point I was trying to make before I distracted myself was that I don't know every band, like you're going to be hearing this the Monday after Metallica released their latest single, and everybody's talking about that as a throwback to 80s Metallica sound. We won't get into that here. I have my doubts. But this, and they said this in some interviews where I saw where Dave Germain came out and said, we're going back to the sound of the first few albums. Well, they fucking did it. And I don't know how far away they got from that anywhere in their discography.
Me either.
Mission accomplished. They stole Tracy's brother's time machine to go back and...
Back to 2000. Yeah, did they? Because I hear a bit of Indestructible, but I miss those albums in the tens.
So I've listened to them as they've come out, and I feel like when they hit 10,000 Fists, like they really nailed. Like that's their third album. Like Believe, I think, is a turn from Down with the Sickness, or The Sickness is a turn in sound, and then 10,000 Fists, I think, is just solidification of what they did in Believe, and after that, their sound has been predominantly the same. I think the songwriting has to an extent suffered a bit, and I think their songwriting's gotten worse. Maybe there's a couple more catchier, but there's also a lot more fluff. There's a lot more, I'm gonna say, Fear of the Darkness, where you have like one or two good songs on there, but outside of that, there's not a lot off an album that really pull off of them. And that's a thing that every album post 10,000 Fists and Indestructible has suffered with, I think, in my opinion.
Including this one?
Yeah, a little bit. Like there's a couple of tracks here, but I mean, what's that video we watched? The YouTube video. It's like Down with the Sickness, Greatest Hits, and it's a Yama
Nama. Oh, I know, totally.
It's Greatest Hit. Oh, manama.
That is.
I didn't think he did it as much on this as he did on the original.
There's
album.
only a little bit of vocal ticks. Yeah, just slightly.
He dialed it back.
He has a very distinct sound, and I think a very much, you know, a Disturbed song when you hear it.
I agree with that. They did have a very distinctive sound that kind of makes them stand apart. And I might be the only one of the four of us, but I actually think Dave Germain is actually a pretty good singer. I actually like his voice. I mean, I think the vocal ticks are annoying and the ooh-ah and all that stuff. But not to spoil it, but we're going to be reviewing a Devin Townsend album in this set. And other than Devin, with the exception of Devin Townsend, he was the best singer of the four albums we listened to.
Hey, man, don't knock it. He trained to be a cantor. You notice what he's doing with his voice. Come on. I mean, I don't like his voice, but I mean, he knows what he's doing.
He does.
Yeah.
I don't mind his voice so much either. The Grönemeyer thing cracked me up because it is a bit Muppet-like, but... I mean, I listen to some bands whose singers are not good, as you've seen.
Sure. I mean, you know, and I do too. I mean, and I don't think that, obviously, as much as I complain about certain vocal styles, I really don't care if somebody has a good voice so much as whether I can understand them.
Yeah, indeed.
And that's not a problem with this guy. But, you know, this is, again, I think alt metal, which Gabe brought up, is a really good description of this genre. It was produced incredibly well, which you would expect with a band that has been this successful, this deep into their career. The playing is more or less on point, meaning that it is very solid, if not adventurous in any way. Or, you know, I'm not going to say these dudes aren't virtuosos, but they're certainly not showing it on this album, in my opinion. And, you know, this is all just... And I don't necessarily mean this as a knock, even though it's going to sound like one. Again, this is just radio-friendly stuff. I don't think there's a track on here that I would be shocked if I heard on a radio station somewhere.
Oh, that is very true with a lot of their writing. I think it's a conscientious decision as well.
I'm sure it is. You know, that they got in this to make money, and so they're approaching it from that perspective.
Yeah, I think this is the case that what they go for is a lowest common denominator. It's not, they don't do anything experimental or crazy or outside of the box. And some of the themes I think are very widely appealing that they choose to address on the record. I do think that some of the politics are a bit iffy. There are two songs in particular where I think they either sound like Republican talking points or are sort of reactionary in another way. And that may not be the it may not be the intention there, but it just sounds like cranky boomer or like, you know, cranky sure. Republican kind of talking points. And, you know, I think Draymond, from what I've read, he's come under fire for like being, you know, strongly pro-Israel, which is like, it's totally his right to be pro-Israel. He, you know, he has ties to the country. It's totally fine.
Yes.
But where I don't really see that represented here. That's not really what I'm talking about. To be more specific about it, the song Divisive, it sounds like an argument against teaching critical race theory. Like, don't bring up divisive topics and, you know, don't be divisive, rather than, you know, hashing out issues that are sure. worth talking about and that you should talk about.
He struck me more, and this is probably because the Overton window has exploded. He strikes me more, or the, because I thought about this too, because their politics should be sort of progressive, maybe. To me, it struck me as a sort of cranky radical centrist. Does that make sense? Like the New York Times lamenting both sidesism, which I find very problematic also.
Yeah.
Because I think he would be pretty quick to tell you, like, you know, you look at Feeding the Fire or whatever, that they don't like the alt-right either. But yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I think you hit it on the head when you described the politics of divisive. This, it's sort of like, can't we all just get along, man? Can't we just pull back towards the center? Which is, I agree with you, is cranky and maybe slightly boomerish, but I think in a different way. They struck me much more as a New York Times editorialist lamenting polarization than as a Republican. And I feel that because the Republicans have essentially, well, you know what's happened in terms of the right, that I think very few of them are saying that. I mean, their candidate for 2024 is advocating literally undoing the Constitution. So, I don't disagree with your analysis of divisive, but I would argue cranky nostalgic centrist is more the thing, which is a very specific, I guess, 2022 thing, because
it's also kind of a George Willian take.
Yeah, no, totally. But no, I mean, none of that is me disagreeing with you. Those politics are, for where most of us are, a bit problematic. But I think it's nostalgic for a world that I don't think existed in the first place and is basically super dead. Far more from one side than the other, but we don't have to get into that here. But, you know, he's got to be our age, right, Ben? Ish?
He's 49, yeah. So he's right at our age.
Yeah.
A few years older than us.
So he's like a Gen X guy, nostalgic for, I think, sort of a rose-colored view of the 80s, maybe, yeah. Or 90s.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, he grew up in New York and Chicago, pretty much. So, you know, it's not to be like big city bad thing or anything like that, but I mean, I just think it's a certain level of white liberal elitism.
I think, probably. Yeah, I would, yes.
It certainly colors your perspective.
Yeah. 100%.
It does. Though the video for Bad Man, which I know we're not here to talk about, is certainly not complimentary in terms of some of the stuff that's happening right now. So, you know, I would actually say that this is very much liberal with a capital L, if that makes sense, which itself, I think, you know, I think you would agree that it would be precise. And I've had this argument with so many people, like both sides have polarized and you know, like one side wants you to have healthcare, the other side wants you murdered. Like that's, that asymmetry is not covered by a song like Divisive.
Well, I think also like, but what I was getting at too, is that in the interest of this both sidesism, you get also a song like Love to Hate, which is like, why do people just like pile on and attack where they can? And it's like, yes, a lot of people participate in that, but also some people actually deserve it because they're otherwise, you know, there are situations in which like you have to call out a certain kind of behavior, and it's not just like an internet pylon.
This also in a lot of ways reminds me of like the famous thing when Michael Jordan was asked why he didn't endorse the candidate who was running against Jesse Helms. You know, and it was like Republicans buy sneakers too, and it's probably they're trying to tap into it, and I keep referring to them, but they're trying to tap into the late crossover or the Venn diagram of them and their fans and Five Finger Death Punch fans, who are a more conservative
100%.
You know, so not that, that makes it right, but
they're trying to corner the butt rock market.
Butt rock market. I think the album, I think the album cover is literally this theory of both sides polarization.
Yeah.
If you look at it, right? Like it's pulling in both directions in the middle, the center is dropping out. I mean, I'm putting too much into it.
Split in half.
Right. And what's in the middle is nothing but lava.
Right.
Or their emblem is being broken in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe half of them are Kerry King, half of them are Tom Arya. They just can't decide what they want to be.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't be the only band.
No kidding.
Slayer. I mean, fucking think of System of a Down. Jesus Christ. So.
No kidding.
Yeah, for real.
And I understand, even I occasionally, for the same reason, I'm turning into a cranky Gen Xer, can accidentally be slightly nostalgic for an era that was less fucking fascist than the thing we're in now. But I agree with you, Gabe. Like, this, the can't we all just get along thing? And, like, let's not pile on, people. Like, we're in the 30s, not the 90s.
Right.
It just kind of, it's sad and it's kind of disgusting at the same time. Because I think that they, like, the intention is maybe good.
I think so, too.
I just, yeah.
I have friends like this. I get it. You know, I get it. It sounds like we've already moved into talking about tracks. Do we have anything else to say about the album?
Sorry, my bad.
No, not a problem. No,
that was just something that needed to be discussed.
It did. I think I was going to get into it when we talked about tracks. You don't need to apologize. I'm just wondering if that's firmly where we are. And it's like, do you have anything
else? I mean, unless Tracy has something else he wants to say about it.
Yeah.
No, I don't have nothing. You guys all said everything pretty much extremely well, and you guys are much more in tuned with that than I am. I guess it's a better way to put it, say it.
But I think
I
you also
was focusing on the music.
Amazing. Well, Tracy, though, that being said, I think one, you listen to way more metal than we do, or music, period. And two, I think you, honestly, let's be honest, interact with quote unquote normal people far more than the rest of us. So
definitely,
I'm gonna put this in perspective. I don't talk politics at work at all because there's
that
one other person who I can talk to that immediately is not I can't even have a discussion with you. Because you're so far to this point, like,
yeah, sure.
Leading up to the election, it was not uncommon to hear coworkers go, "Man, I think Carrie Lake should run for president soon."
Who?
Carrie Lake.
I heard Terry Lich. I'm like, wait, like, I'm just picturing Terry an undead Lich. Wizard. Like,
is he the Lich King?
The Lich King. I'm like, I might vote for the Lich King.
He's running.
Yeah, exactly. No. He's running.
Arthas isn't running.
Oh man, who wants to go first on this?
I guess it's I picked it. I'll sure. go first. So okay. First off, I'm gonna say runtime. I don't remember if I even said what the runtime was. I'm sure I did. Love the runtime.
Yeah, sure.
For the most part, unless you are really paying attention to these songs, you're going to find them completely inoffensive. And so, therefore, I didn't really like any of them, but I also didn't hate any of them. They were perfectly fine, okay. With that said, I will now pick out some that were a little bit more perfectly fine, okay, than some of the others. And Badman. Badman is probably the one that I like a lot, but I think it's stupid because of the title and just the way that he repeats that. You know, the title track, Divisive, they, you know, it's got all the problems that we just talked about, but it's one of the catchier songs on there.
It is.
Feeding the Fire, Don't Tell Me, again, because Dave Germain is a pretty good vocalist, and I've always liked Ann Wilson, so hearing that was pretty good. Yeah, I guess that's it.
I thought Badman sounded like a parody of themselves slightly, right? More than the others. I'm a bit nostalgic for the sound, I'll admit, because I put it in. I'm like, this just sounds like the old stuff. Hey, he's okay. Badman, I like it more having watched the video, which I'm going to make you all watch after this. But I think it gets better at Divisive and Unstoppable. I like those songs. I thought Feeding the Fire was okay. Take Back Your Life's pretty good. I thought it closed all right. I mean, if you like this sound and can get past the way Drayman explained it was he was criticizing partisan tribal warfare. That's where I'm getting the thing, Gabe, about him, like, fearing polarization, like, sort of both sidesism. But, I mean, if you, it is pretty anodyne if you're not looking for it the way it sounds like all of We Are. And if you like that sort of slightly industrial, slightly thrashy thing they were doing in 2002, I mean, this is definitely that again. So I thought it was all right. I mean, it was actually better than I was expecting. That's the thing. When I put it in, I was like, oh, no.
It was definitely better than I was expecting. And like I said, even if none of the songs really stood out, there would be times when I'd find myself just passively headbanging along.
Yeah, it's and it that is
the nostalgia factor.
It's the combination of nostalgia and, you know, we review albums and this one.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Gabe, you want to go next or you want me to?
I can go. So I think if I like, you know, kind of hold my nose like and don't pay attention to lyrics, like the first half of the record just isn't bad to listen to. But I would say that I actually, I mean, I think that are like catchy tracks. I think Hey You is a catchy track. I think Won't Back Down is an all right closer. Again, holding my nose and not paying attention to anything except the music, I think Divisive and Love to Hate are pretty okay.
I'm agree with you guys that in just passive listening, this album does run together and you can't really tell the first track from the last. It just kind of all is one blur and you're kind of, oh, except for Badman, because that chorus is just so, it sticks out so much just because it's the only one that like is that repetitive. So of course that one stuck out and Unstoppable, the rest of them just kind of blurred together. So those are the Badman and Unstoppable are the only two I pulled off of here.
Well, I guess that means it's time to grade this thing.
It is.
I'm probably going to set the bar high. And I have to go first. I'm going to give this a B. I mean, it was just perfectly fine. Okay. It was good. It was solid. Something you can put on or I can put on and just let play in the background and not even think about.
To the surprise of no one, because I'm a nostalgic idiot, just like Ben. And I was going to say literally the same things you just said. It's like well-produced and I don't know. I think it was so much better than I was expecting it to. I'm going to put this at a B also, which surprised me again. I thought we were going to be in C territory or whatever, but I know that shocks the other two of you, but I'm right there with Ben. This is for me also a B.
So I'm going to use an analogy that has been used in a while, but it's a lot like movie theater popcorn. It's good, but it's not very filling. It doesn't stick with you for very long. I'm going to give this a C.
I get that. It probably deserves it, but, you know, Ben and I are where we are, so.
Tracy, I'm right there with you. This is a C. It's not really for hardcore fans only because, like, you really don't have to pay attention to it to consume it. And I think that even if you are a hardcore fan, you could put it on and think you're listening to another record. Yeah.
Like this well, is the
go ahead, Tracy.
I was gonna say this is like the perfect album. You have a friend at any friend that remotely likes heaviness, like you could play this.
Sure.
And you'd probably just they won't say it's like it's not too heavy. Like it's not like we could pull one of the two albums we listened to this weekend as well later on.
Yeah.
That you can't put that on for people who are just moderate fans of heaviness. It's gonna have to be
this would probably too much. Probably not get me yelled at.
Yeah,
which is now now a factor again, by the way. So
this is definitely a gateway drug, and I can't believe that this band waited until their eighth album to have a track called Unstoppable. I was
me too. I was
for sure that they had one that was called.
I thought that. I was like, surely they've had this on three other albums. But
no, they met you somewhere in the middle, and they had a track on their fourth album called Indestructible.
I was surprised. I would be surprised if they didn't have a song called Take Back Your Life. It's like such a like five finger death punch, like all this like tough guy nonsense.
Yeah.
Is that the average an 80, Tracy? I assume that's where that puts us.
I believe so.
I would think 75, 75, 80, yeah.
So B minus, C plus, whichever way you want to round it.
That's a B minus, Tracy. You're always doing that.
I'm just gonna get that C plus in there, make sure. But yeah. Would you buy this album?
Nah.
Nope.
Probably not. It's okay. I mean, it would come on the radio, so I probably wouldn't need to.
Would I listen to it again? Yes.
Yeah,
am I gonna buy it? No. So. Well. That performed a lot better than I thought it was going to when I selected it.
Me too. And I think that surprise is probably why I graded as highly as I did.
Yeah.
And also, I'm a nostalgic idiot. What can I say?
Speaking
of being an idiot, Tracy, what idiocy are we doing next?
I am an idiot. I'll just put that out there. Everybody agree with you on that one. But what we're doing next is Ingested Ashes Lie Still.
Oh, a little heavier than this, y'all.
Just a little bit.
A tiny bit. It's for the kids.
Slightly.
It's for the youth. Well, I'm looking forward to that because it was an album and I picked it. You're right. November was slim, Ben. I was like, hopefully you all didn't hate it. Guess we'll see.
Right on. Thank you for listening to Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.